If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Jonah. Be interesting to see how many can turn straight to Jonah. James, could I have a light on here, please?
Thank you.
I might turn to it, but I might not be able to see it. Thank you. Jonah chapter 1. We're still rumbling. It is in there. I'll start. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was on the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us, that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you've done to us?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quieten down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quieten down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed harder to get back to dry land. But they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you. O Lord, you have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights.
Amen.
Now, Jonah is a book that, even though we may not exactly know where it is in the Bible, I think for every Christian, just about, they will know the story of Jonah. In fact, at Sunday school, it's probably one of the first stories that we ever learn about. You know, and our kids come home with a sort of cut-out whale and all the rest of it. You see, most of the children, if you ask them about Jonah, they'll be able to tell you that he was swallowed by a whale. So what is it that we can learn from this book of Jonah? I find it an absolutely fascinating book. But let me ask you the question this morning. Have you ever felt like running away? Ask me this morning when I'm supposed to be leading the service. You know, oof, I feel like running away. It's going somewhere. And if we're true, all of us, from time to time, want to run away. Now, we might want to run away from God, and I've certainly had times where I've thought, it's a bit too difficult, this. Perhaps I'll run away. We might want to run away from our marriages, from our work, from our home life, from anything. There are times in life that we want to run away. And this man, Jonah, was no exception. You know, Jonah, his name actually means a dove. And if you read Hosea 7:11, you'll find out that the word dove means easily deceived and senseless. Jonah was a prophet, and he's believed to be a sort of protege of Elijah. But he was a prophet of God, and he had a clear command from the Lord. And that command was, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. You see, this wasn't the word from God that we sometimes get where we feel, I think God's saying I ought to do this, or I think God's saying I ought to go here. This was an absolute. There was no doubt in Jonah's mind as to what the word of God was. It was to go to Nineveh and preach the word. It was unambiguous. Go and preach to Nineveh, because that's what God had commanded him to do. And as we know, Jonah went and did precisely the opposite. He went to the port of Joppa, he paid his money, and he went in totally the opposite direction. It's like God saying to me, Paul, I want you to go and preach to London, the people there, let's say Tottenham in London, where all the riots were, and I say, don't fancy that too much. I think I'll get on the train and go to Glasgow and beyond. In fact, Tarshish was 2,000 miles in the opposite direction from Nineveh. Not only that, it was the furthest most point of the then known world. In fact, you couldn't get much further away from where he'd been told to go. Why didn't Jonah do what God commanded him? You know, we can be so critical of Jonah, and yet, I think if I had got the word to go and preach to Tottenham, I'll say Tottenham in East London, I don't think I'd have been terribly keen to do that. I think Jonah may well have been fearful for his own life, because they had in Nineveh, it was a city of such great sin, and it was also a city that didn't take any prisoners, and they would torture their victims and dispose of them. One may also liken it to what's happening in Tripoli at this point in time, where people are being tortured and disposed of. But when we disobey God, when we take our own course of action, then consequences of those decisions begin to unfold before us. And I just want to briefly look this morning at some of the consequences of sin. Firstly, for us, if God is speaking to you and asking you to do a certain thing, then it's actually better to obey what God is asking us to do than to say, don't fancy that, so I'll do something else. You see, there is no hiding place from God. And there's consequences for sin, for us who disobey, but there's equally consequences for those around us. So firstly, let's look at what happens when we disobey God. There is a price to be paid. When Jonah turned his back on God, he hurried down to the seaport. And you know, the Bible is so specific here. Sometimes the Bible's a bit, you know, it just says, you know, Elijah went to somewhere or whatever. And other times it's very specific. It says, Jonah went down to the seaport and paid his fare. Why is that bit of what we might say trivia included in the Bible? Well, I believe it is that there is always a cost to disobedience to God. He went down to the port. Well, you'd expect a port to be down. He went down to the port. Sin is a trek that takes us down, and he paid the fare. And when we sin, there is always a price to be paid. You see, sin will take our money. Sin will take our reputation. Sin will take our families, our friends, and eventually, sin will take our lives. And I'll say another thing, that sin will destroy churches if we do not deal with sin within churches. And another thing I feel it's worth mentioning here is that sometimes, because a certain situation arises, we think it's okay. You know, when Jonah went down to the port, there was a boat in there that was about to sail to Tarshish. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I do not believe there would be a boat sailing to Tarshish every day of the week. In fact, I believe that boat would sail once every blue moon almost. But it just happened to be in, and Jonah just happened to say, I'll nip on board and get there. So because sometimes there's something there which you may say, aha, yes, it must be right because it's there. That is not always the case. Sometimes it is. It's not always the case that it's right to do it. And I just ask the question, are we paying the price for some unconfessed sin in our own lives? Because if we have unconfessed sin, there is still a price to be paid till that is sorted out before God and the individual or whatever concerned. As we ignore God, as we're disobedient to his word, then another issue is that we become oblivious to the dangers. You know, perhaps Jonah was weary with the excitement of travel, that he was oblivious to the storm brewing up and was oblivious to the weighing of the anchor, oblivious to the cargo being thrown overboard by the mariners. He was oblivious to the situation he was in. He had fallen into a deep sleep. And if we disobey God, we're in danger of falling into a deep sleep, which is where I believe most people in the world are today. Fast asleep to the word of God. You see, I believe we can liken our world to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was that great capital of the Assyrian Empire. For the Hebrews, Nineveh was a byword for luxury, dissipation, and debauchery. The prophet Nahum, verse 3:1, says this: woe to Nineveh, the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. Or in verse 19, it said, nothing can heal your wound. Your injury is fatal. You see, as a consequence of disobedience to God, or one of the consequences, is that we fall asleep to the perils and the dangers that are around us spiritually. You see, things can become acceptable in our lives which weren't acceptable in the past. And there's this great problem that we begin to allow the world to mould us into where the world thinks we should be, instead of standing firm to what the Word of God says to us. The longer we disobey God, then the deeper we can fall asleep. So many of my friends were once on fire for God, but have fallen away. Why have they fallen away? I believe partly because they've become disillusioned, they've become disheartened, and they've become discouraged. And I was reading the other day that, you know, one of the greatest tools that Satan will use against Christians is discouragement. If you are discouraged, it's so easy to begin to walk in the opposite direction to where God is wanting you to go. But, you know, we shouldn't be unaware that hardships will take us in life, because God, Jesus, has told us that we are required to take up our cross daily. We can't just run away from God when things go wrong. We can't just run away because the thing that God wants us to do, we don't want to do, or we find too difficult, or actually I'm not too keen on that. A consequence of disobedience to God is that we become hardened to what God is saying to us, and we begin to fill our minds with the rubbish, I'll put it that way, of everyday life, the things that crowd in, oops, and clutter, good catch, that we then begin to no longer hear the Word of God. And sometimes, you know, we think we can escape God by running away, but there is no hiding place with God. And, you know, even if we manage to evade him on earth, we will surely face God on the day of judgment. And you know, that's the wonder, that every knee will bow before Jesus Christ. And hey, I want to be one who bows the knee willingly before the Lord my God. And it's sometimes worth saying, I think, that the disasters that block the way of disobedience are harder than any difficulties we may face in actually doing God's will. Or I'll put it another way, you'll find it harder trying not to do what God wants you to do than actually doing it in the first place. And I believe that there may well be some of us here that God is calling into certain ministries or certain works. And it might be things you say, that's not me, I don't want to do that. But you know, if God's calling us to do it, God's calling you to do it, then step out and move into what God wants you to do. See, disobedience will eventually lead to death spiritually, and it will lead to hell eventually. And I want to say this morning, that anyone here who is not a Christian, who does not know God, then today, again, can be your day of salvation. You see, God calls on us, calls us to respond to his word, because he wants everybody to be saved and to know Jesus. Whatever we've done in life, however much we may have run away, nothing is beyond the forgiveness of God. Nothing is beyond that. So there are consequences of trying to run away from God for us as individuals, but what about the consequences for other people around us? You see, sin just doesn't affect us. It has a knock-on effect. The Bible tells us, as we read in Jonah there, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Did that happen by chance? No. God sent that storm. And there's these poor mariners there. It wasn't their fault. They were there in the midst of it. The Lord unleashed a violent storm, so great that the ship threatened to founder. And they, experienced sailors, knew that it was likely the boat was going to sink. When a boat sinks, generally, there ain't many people saved, particularly at this time. There was no lifeboat going to come out. The boat was going to go to the bottom. And in their frightened state, they threw all the cargo overboard. You see, suddenly the precious cargo matters little when your life is at stake. And they're working together as a team to throw everything out. The waves crashed around the boat. I just want you to try and imagine the panic on that boat that was happening. I have seen, I think, in my lifetime about three films. And the last one I think I saw in about 1920 was Titanic. And it was a fabulous film, you know. But the chaos and the mayhem that was depicted there, with all the people rushing about and screaming and shouting. You know, it's not a, do you think you could help me move this piece of cargo off the board? They'd be shouting and absolute panic and chaos. And one man's sin had placed them in this desperate state. Physically, they were in danger of going to a watery grave. And they realized, because they'd been calling out to their own gods, that their own idols had no control whatsoever over the wind and the waves. And so they realized also, this chap Jonah, prophet of God. I mean, just think about that. What was his job? His job was a prophet. And there he was, fast asleep in the bowels of the boat. As I read this story, I'm so reminded of Jesus in the boat when the storm blew up on Lake Tiberias, I think it was. The disciples panicked. Jesus slept. But you see, there's such a huge difference. Was that Jesus was not running away from God. Jesus was doing the will of God. And Jesus was able to get up and just rebuke the waves. All of us will have storms in our lives. But I want to say this, whatever storms you face, you will not founder if you have God in your life, if God is with you. We'll all face struggles, but God is the one who will carry us and lead us through all our difficulties. You see, I believe that had Jonah been told to go to Tarshish, had he been doing the will of God, then, and had that storm blown up, then Jonah would have just said to Jesus, just said to God, calm this storm. That boat would never have foundered because Jonah would have been in the will of God. And Jonah certainly wasn't going to die until God had fulfilled the prophecy. And if God has spoken the word of prophecy in your life, then you will not see death until that is fulfilled. Because God will see that it happens. You see, our sin will always affect others. You know, the drunken driver who kills or maims an innocent person. The mugger or the thief who, in total disregard for others, can often leave them in fear and sorrow for years to come. But it's not always just the major crime that affects others. that angry word you may have spoken to someone, that deliberate cruel jibe, that gossip. All those things can have a detrimental effect on other people. If we fail to forgive others, that can have a bad effect on their life. You see, Jesus has forgiven us. Who are we not to forgive others? You see, sometimes it's easier for us to forget those things and look at the bigger, you know, the murderer or rapist or whatever. But it's equally the small thing can have an effect. Do we need to repent, to say sorry, to confront an issue, a sin against others? Hurts in the church, lack of love for others. You know, such things can eat away like a cancer. Let's repent, let's give it to God if we know it's in our lives. But there's another effect for others that sin can have, and it may not be physical, but more spiritual. The sailors' lives have been put at risk. But what about the inhabitants of Nineveh? The whole mission of Jonah was to tell them that they got 40 days left before God was going to, let's just say, sort them out. God's wrath and judgment was going to fall upon them. Now, if ever there was an opportunity for a hell, fire, and damnation sermon, that was it. You know, oh, God's told me I'm going to get in there. What a fantastic opportunity. Preach the word of God. You see, God wanted to give the people of Nineveh another chance. Just like God gives us another chance, and another chance, and another chance, and another chance. Yeah, when we can come back to God for forgiveness time and time and time again. And God wanted to give the people of Nineveh that chance. And you know, he uses earthly vessels to promote his words. And by disobedience, Jonah had put the lives of the Ninevites in peril. And sometimes we just need to think about that. God calls each one of us to preach the word of God in season and out of season. God's heart for the lost in Nineveh is the same as his heart for the lost of today. God wants people to come to him. He wants people to turn to Christ, because his heart is that no one should perish. And God uses us as weak instruments, or as instruments, to bring his word to others. Now, that's not necessarily standing in a pulpit and preaching. It's about what you might say, everyday Christianity. You see, I don't think it's right to be ramming Christ down people's throats who don't want to hear. But it's about using opportunities in a gentle and in a loving way to advance the kingdom of God. It's surprising how many people actually want to know more about Jesus when you begin to talk to them. What an opportunity with Alpha coming up, just to encourage someone to come along. The fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. You see, the call of God to Jonah is actually the same call that God gives to each one of us. We mentioned it this morning. Therefore, go. It's that go word. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And you see, God uses that word go to us. Yeah, it's interesting. He said to Jonah, go, But Jonah went. Jonah should have gone. And if we disobey this great commission, then the consequence of our sin for other people is that they do not hear the word of God. See, if we give people the word of God, they may reject it. That's fine. That's not my problem. That's God's problem. But they've heard the word of God. God calls us to do the going. So in context, that could mean go to your neighbour. Go to your friend. Go to your workmates. If God's prompting us to go, then let's go. Let's not say, well, actually, I'll go somewhere else. Take our opportunities to proclaim the gospel of Christ, because that day is drawing near when Christ will return. You see, if we're in sin, we will not radiate the life of Christ in our lives. Our lives should radiate Christ, and others will be attracted. Moses, you know, when he went up on the mountain, close to God, he came back glowing. His face shone. People knew he had an encounter with God. And people should know that we have had an encounter with God. When we leave here this morning, you know, how do we leave? Oh, thank goodness that's over. You know, or is it, hallelujah, we've met with the living God. People should know from our lifestyle that we're Christians. If we're in disobedience, if we're in sin, then we will not radiate Christ. That crew on Jonah's boat, you know, they reacted angrily to Jonah. How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Isn't it ironic? The pagan sailors telling Jonah, the prophet, for goodness sake, pray to God. You see, if we're in sin, that will put people off Christianity. If that's what Christians are like, forget it. That's often the response. As I close, let's just think about the futility of running away from God. God's told you to do something. And it's a great time of the year, this, as we move into September. I love it. You know, it's the start of the term. Probably the teachers don't like it, but, you know, you get back in. You know. It's a wonderful time. We get back in, infused. Infused. If God's been speaking to you, go. Do it. We can't assume, you know, that we can immerse ourselves in something else, no matter how good it is. You know, Jonah may have thought to himself, well, I was going to say stuff the people of Nineveh, but you know what I mean. Blow the people of Nineveh. What I'll do, I'll go and preach to the people of Tarshish. But that won't do. If God's told you Nineveh, then that's where it's got to be. If we have a relationship problem with somebody, a particular individual, say, we may say, do you know what? I'm going to be really nice to everybody else. I'll be super nice to other people. That'll do. No, it won't do until you sort the problem out with the individual that you have to sort the problem out with. You see, we have to go to Nineveh. We have to go to the place of sin. We have to confront it. We have to repent and we have to move on. There's no hiding place from God. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there also. If I rise up on wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your right hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. There is no way out from God. I'm just reminded that 35 years or so ago, God spoke to me about a specific thing I needed to do in my life. And the choice was absolutely clear before me. It was a word of God. It was a go. And I wanted to go the opposite way. I desperately wanted to go to Tarshish when God had said, go to Nineveh. I desperately wanted to go my way when God was pointing me in another way. But you see, our way, my way, would lead to death and destruction, whereas God's way leads to life. Our way ends up in misery, whereas God's way is a way of peace and joy. And Jonah discovered through a painful few days that you cannot hide from God. And if in our lives there's something we're trying to run away from today, turn to him in repentance, because God always forgives and gives us that other chance, as I said before. Turn to him. Follow his will, and the God of peace will be with you until the end of the age. You know, the story as it unfolds is fantastic, because even after having been in the belly of the fish, or the whale, for 3 days, he went, but he wasn't very happy about it. And if you know the story, it's worth reading the end of that. You know, he did preach to the Nineveh, but he got really upset because God, God turned from his anger and saved that great city. And Jonah sat under a tree and said, well, I knew you'd do it. Oh, let me die. This is a prophet of God we're talking about. And just remember that it is impossible to run away from God, that God controls all things, that God answers prayer, even the prayers of the disobedient prophet. And God can transform wicked lives. Amen.